Okay, Matthew chapter 24 is where we are today. And Jesus is in Jerusalem. And in the context that we're in today, he has been talking about two things. The first one is the destruction of the temple. The second one is his coming at the end of the age. So we're in Matthew 24, and I'm just going to read verses 1, 2, and 3 again. We've done this in the past, but it says, Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came and pointed out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And so they are talking about the destruction of the temple, and the sign of Jesus' coming in the end of the age. And so the disciples ask both of those questions. And in their minds, very likely, it's the same question. Because in their minds, they see the destruction of the temple as happening at when he comes at the end of his age. Very likely. The rest of chapter 24 is Jesus' answer to their question. And it's a long answer. And sometimes Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple, and sometimes Jesus talks about his coming. And he goes back and forth very freely. He mixes them together. Because they're mixing them together in their question. And so the disciples, even after his answer, may still think that they're the same event. But remember that Jesus is not concerned about when. He actually tells them that up front, which we haven't gotten to that part yet, but he's going to tell them that. But his concern is not that you know when, but that you're ready. So he's been saying, and this is still review for what we've already covered, he's been saying that the end will not come until these things happen first. And you've got false Christs and people going astray and wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and persecution and false prophets and lawlessness. And the gospel will be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. Then the end will come, Jesus says. Now, all of those things have already happened, except perhaps, maybe, the gospel going to all people groups. And even there, that depends on exactly what does Jesus mean. That could already be fulfilled, too, depending on what he means, because the gospel has circled the globe. The gospel is around the earth now. It's not just in Judea and Jerusalem. But nonetheless, Jesus is referring in verses 4 through 14, which is what we've already covered, he's referring to something in the future. But then he continues his answer with this. I'm going to start in verse 15. Jesus says, "So, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. Okay, I'm just going to stop there. Okay, Jesus is now talking about a time when the temple is going to basically be defiled. And this seems to be a reference to the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem that's going to happen in 70 AD. So this is going to happen in about 40 years in the future of when Jesus is talking. So he says this, verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place. This is a really difficult verse to unpack. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So he's referring to Daniel. So if you go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says this, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. That 1 week is 1 7. Literally, it's 1 7. Not a week as we think of a week. It could be 7 years. And for half of the week, or that could be half of the seven, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. And then Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, says this. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That's about 3.5 years. And there are a couple other references in Daniel to this. There's one in chapter 11 that is very obviously referring to a prophecy about Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a Greek king who ruled over, this is pre-Roman time, this is 168 BC, when he went into the temple and sacrificed a pig in the temple as a in your face to the Jews kind of thing, and made it illegal to practice Judaism. And Daniel 11 is 31. If you want to look it up, you can look it up. That's the reference. Daniel 11, 31 is pretty clearly referring to that. These other references they're harder to say for sure that that's what they're talking about. But what they are talking about, however you get the specifics of when and who, what they are talking about is the temple becoming defiled and desolate. And that is precisely what happens in 70 AD. And since 70 AD, there has been no temple. And so in 70 AD, the Romans destroy the temple completely. Not one stone is left upon another. And Jesus is saying that in some way, these Daniel references about the desolation, the abomination, and the desolation of the temple, putting an end to the sacrifices, which from 70 AD on, the Jews have not had sacrifices. Um, In fact, I remember I was talking to I was in school, I was teaching, and there were several classes that came together, and there was a Jewish woman who came to talk to all of these classes. It was probably four or five different English classes that had come together, and this Jewish lady was talking to them about Judaism and what do Jews do and what do they practice and so on. And so she goes through her whole spiel and then had a time for Q&A. And so I asked her, and I said, so in the Bible, it talks about the Jews having a sacrificial system for animals. They would sacrifice animals. And I said, are there any Jews today who still do that? And she said, no. And she said, in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. And the Jews have ceased to practice animal sacrifice from that time on. And so that was a cessation of the offerings, which is what Daniel talks about. Now, Jesus calls attention to the reader to take note of that fact. Let the reader pay attention, he says in verse 15, Matthew 24:15. Sorry, I'm back in Matthew. That's not Matthew telling Matthew's reader to pay attention to that. That's Jesus telling the reader of Daniel to pay attention to what Daniel's saying. And so Jesus is saying, when you see this abomination in the temple, flee. That's verse. So let me read it again. Verse 15. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, that is the temple, let the reader understand. Then, so when you see this, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. He's saying, run now. Don't look back. When you see this, get out of there. Verses 16 through 20 deal with that flight. He's saying, go immediately. Now, these are all references that are unique to a Jewish-Judean context. You know, verse 16, those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and the mountains are in, they're in Judea, actually. And so he's probably saying those who are not in the mountains flee to the mountains, which would be those in the city, mostly. You've got those on the rooftops, their housetops, they built houses with flat roofs, and they used the roof as another floor of their house. So they'd like have a two-story house, which would be a one-story house plus a roof, which was the second story, almost like we might use it as a patio or something like that. But that's what they did. They said, you're on your rooftop. You could go across the rooftops of the city and get out of the city. He's saying, don't go down into your house to get your stuff. Get out of there. That's the idea. He talks about fleeing on the Sabbath. This is a Jewish context that he's talking about here. It's not a worldwide context. And he's warning his people about this, what winds up being this future Roman destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But he's not giving the year. He doesn't say it's going to happen in 40 years. Instead, he's saying, when you see the temple being desecrated and defiled, run. That's what he's saying. Without giving a year, without giving a historical reference other than that. So here's what happened. In the 60s, there was a Jewish revolt against Rome. And from 66 to 70, Rome was fighting in Judea against the Jews, the rebels. And the fighting made it eventually to Jerusalem. The fighting was about 3.5 years. And Jerusalem was besieged, and it fell in 70 AD. The temple was defiled and destroyed, and it was a bloodbath. It was something that would make you weep. The Romans killed more than 1 million Jews, which that was approximately 50% of the population. So imagine that for a moment. 50% of a population just being wiped out. That's what Jesus is telling them to flee. Now, that event is a foreshadow of another tribulation that's going to come later in history. See, there's that event, which is definitely a tribulation. But there's another one coming at the end of the age, at the end of time, of which that one foreshadows. So we've got the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and we have the Great Tribulation that comes at the end, and they're related to one another. They're not the same thing, but they go together in one sense. They fit together. How do they fit? I don't know. Maybe one is a type of the other. It's a foreshadow. It's a symbol of something coming later. Kind of like you might give a down payment for more money coming later. Something like that. Or maybe one is step one and the other is step two of a series or of a process. Think of like the animal sacrificial system in the cross. Something like that. They go together. They're not the same thing, and yet they are, aren't they? And yet they're not. Think of it that way. This tribulation that's coming in 70 AD is the same thing, and yet it's not the same thing. And so, in a sense, you might say that 70 AD was a judgment of God's wrath on Jerusalem for its rejection of Christ. There are people who have said that. But you could also say, really, in the end, that's what the Great Tribulation is. It is a judgment on the world of God's wrath for its rejection of Christ. We reject Christ, and God will judge us for doing so. Guys, a society cannot reject God forever. God is patient. There's no question about that. He's very patient. We may reject him, and he'll be patient with us. He will give us, and he will give society, and he will give all the earth time to repent. We'll have time to repent. But understand, God is just. And we don't have forever to repent. And one day time runs out. And this earth will bear the consequences for its sin. And so this is the great tribulation at the end is something like this. It's God saying, okay, time has run out. You've had plenty of time, and you've shown me that you're going in the wrong direction. And so, and earth will have a judgment on it that will come. And what's that judgment like? Well, what happened in 70 AD is a picture of sorts of what that judgment will be like. And it's not going to be a pretty thing. Okay, what I'd like to do is, we have some time. I want to kind of open it up for maybe some questions or discussion on this text. Chapter 24, verses 15 through 21. And So I'm just going to ask you, what do you have some questions? This is just going to be.
Should you turn this off, microphone?
No. And so, what questions do you have on this text? It was Daniel 12:11. And then Daniel 9:27. So what, did you have a question about that?
No, I'm just gonna make it clear again. I guess, because it says here that when you see the abomination of desolation, which, where do you see, I guess? because it says here, when you see it, you know.
As spoken of in Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place.
Yeah.
So you see this in the temple. So
you see this, and then now you have to.
Get out of here. Yeah, get out of here.
I guess.
Leave the city.
Yeah, and then seeing that, like, how do we, like, in relation to this nowadays or in this time, like, I guess this is for the reader, like you said, reader, the Daniel's reader, right?
Right.
But for us in the context of now, like, how would be the relationship with us here?
I think he's saying that in some sense, Daniel is referring to this event of the destruction of the temple. And he's saying, you know, when you see this happen in real life, understand Daniel. Pay attention. You read Daniel. Pay attention. That's kind of the idea. And so, understand, this is what Daniel was talking about. Now, Daniel may be talking about more than just that. Because I've been sharing that this event, the destruction of the temple, and the coming, his second coming, are related. They're not the same thing. They're not the same event. They're separate events.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say they're the same event.
Yeah.
And yet, there's a sense in which there's a relationship between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you see that in Daniel as well, when you look at Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Because Daniel is... When he talks, he clearly talks about, you know, the ending of the offerings, no more offerings being made, the desecration of the temple, that is what happens in 70 AD, and it's so final that there have not been any offerings made since 70 AD up to today. So we're talking, you know, what, 2,000, almost 2,000 years. So in 2,000 years, the Jews haven't been making sacrifices. And so, so your question is for us today, what's the, I think part of it is a confidence in Scripture. Part of it is how serious this is. God takes seriously the business of honoring Christ. It's not something that's a light matter. We Americans, we like to think that religion is just a personal preference. God doesn't see religion that way. It is a personal preference in the sense that God gives us freedom to make our choice, but the choice we make is really important. And so, but we Americans, we say, since we're free to make our choice, then whatever choice you make is just as good as any other. That's how Americans think. That's not how God thinks. He does give you the freedom, but he, to God, it matters what you choose. So part of it for us, I think, is just seeing how serious God takes this business of rejecting Christ. It's also for us, so I'm just going to kind of throw this out there. I want you to think about the fact that in Christianity, Jesus at the cross is the sacrifice that ends all sacrifices, right? Yep. Okay. That literally happened. Yep. Within 40 years, the Jews weren't even making sacrifices. 40 years after Jesus' death. And it's God's, I think there's a statement God is making here that you don't need those anymore. Because the sacrifice of Christ has fulfilled all of those animal sacrifices. And the whole point of all those animal sacrifices is now done. You don't need them anymore. And so, and I think what God is doing is actually, literally, in history, making that statement. That in Christ, it's all done.
There are many places where we'd say, oh, that is the abomination that causes desolation. That, you know, that person or that government or that time in history, you know, the Holocaust or something like that. That is the whole situation is part of the abomination. Okay, we better run. And then something else comes up.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's earthquakes and famines. It's like, oh, okay, so the end must be near.
Yeah.
And so how do we know which one? And that, you know, when it finally is, and it seems like we'll know, you know, if we're following Christ, you know, if we're following God and watching for his return.
Right.
We'll know and say, yeah, this is it. But I can't see how it leads many astray.
Yep.
It's kind of like, okay, when is this going to happen? When is this really going to happen? And we'll know when to flee.
Yeah.
And what's the temple now? Is the temple the church? You know, is the temple, because it's the abomination destroys desolation.
Right.
In the holy place. Anyway, how does this destruction of the temple relate to today? If we're supposed to watch for the abomination that causes desolation, if that's going to be a sign and we can say, oh yeah, I think this must be it, and flee, then what would be the temple today? Do you have any idea?
I don't know that. See, Jesus is referring to Daniel, and he's referring to something that's happening in the temple.
Right.
The temple doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And so, in that sense, if you're trying to take this prophecy in some kind of literal way and have us look for the time, I think the time has happened here that Jesus is referring to. And so in that sense, I don't know that it's for today, but that doesn't mean we can't learn things from it. Mm-hmm. And so, and that question is really the same question Hondi had, is what, you know, what is it for us today? What can we learn from it?
And, right.
And so we talked about that some already. But part of this is, it really is dealing with the temple.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Daniel is dealing with the temple. Jesus says, he's referring back to what Daniel was talking about.
Right.
And Jesus then says that it's when you see him standing in the holy place, there's too much temple here for this to be a reference to something after the temple, to me. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think one of your points is this is also looking forward.
Yes. And so, because Jesus, so you got to look at the bigger context. In the broader context, Jesus is talking about more than just the destruction of the temple. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the destruction of the temple, but he's also talking about this great tribulation that's going to come at the end of the age. Mm-hmm. He's talking about his second coming, mm-hmm. which we're going to get more into that as we get into the context. But we've already seen it mm-hmm. in verses 4 through 14. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking about an event, the destruction of the temple, but he's also talking about something even bigger than the destruction of the temple. Mm-hmm. And they're interwoven.
Right.
And so that's why I was saying, kind of with what is with Handi when he was asking how does it apply to us today, mm-hmm. that it's a picture of how serious God takes this, mm-hmm. and we need to understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of thing that happened in 70 AD is not done. Mm-hmm. There's more to come. And that doesn't mean I know all the details about what's to come. Mm-hmm. I really don't know the details, but I know that it's going to be pretty serious. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's going to precede the coming of Christ mm-hmm. and the end of the age. Mm-hmm. I know, those are some things I know. And what makes it difficult is there's so much we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to try to say things that I can't say because I don't really know that. You know, there are people, teachers, who will, you know, tell you, oh, the end of the world is coming in, they'll give you a date. Mm-hmm. That's nonsense. I mean, when you see that, run from it. When you see teachers that talk that way, because that's just nonsense. And yet, some people look at those nonsense teachers and conclude, that the whole thing is nonsense. Jesus isn't come. That's also nonsense. Mm-hmm. So don't have this knee-jerk reaction to those whacked-out teachers who tell you what date, you know, the end of the world's coming, to conclude that there is no end of the world, or that there is no end of this age, or that there is no, you know, tribulation that will come in the future, or that there's some, you know, people go on those two extremes. That's not where Jesus is. He's not. He is pretty clear. There is going to be a great tribulation. Mm-hmm. It is going to happen. Mm-hmm. The destruction of Jerusalem is a sort of like a mini picture of it,
right.
Or like a down payment of it, or like I don't know exactly what metaphor best describes it, but in some way mm-hmm. they go together. So then, this is this whole chapter is really difficult to unpack because of this interconnection between different events that are related to one another. And so it's often hard. I wasn't sure which verse even to stop at. here, because I think he's going to move into very quickly. He may have even already done it in verse 21. Move into talking about the end of the age and his coming. If you look ahead, you can see by verse 27, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So he's moving into talking about his second coming. And where does he transition from 70 AD to the future? And that's debated. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly which verse it is. It's either verse 21 or verse 22. It could be verse 23. By verse 23, I think he is talking about the end of the age. Mm-hmm. But I don't know exactly where the transition takes place. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, give different reasons why it's at this verse or that verse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand their reasons, which is why I'm not sure. And so I think partly when we look at some of this about, you know, Jesus' second coming, we need to look at it with a measure of humility, of we don't know, and we got to be okay not having the answers to every question. Mm-hmm. And if we're not okay with that, that's a problem. We really do need to be okay with that. We don't have to know everything. But at the same time, we should know what we need to know. I mean, Jesus is giving us information. He wants us to know something. And so we need to know what we need to know and yet not know what we don't need to know, if that makes any sense. And sometimes we humans have a difficult time with that. Sometimes we just gotta know, you know. Yeah. And God says, no, you don't have to know. Yeah. So let's close in prayer. Praise your name, Father. Jesus, I don't know when you're coming, but you are, and I praise you. And I pray for this world because I see a judgment that you have already issued and how severe it was on those who rejected you. And I see this earth spiraling in that same direction and just rejecting you. And I pray, God, that you would use me and those in this church and your church more broadly across the world to be light and salt to a world that rejects Jesus, by and large. Let us bring Jesus to them. And I pray that you would save some. We give you blessing and praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.